Hello, everybody, and welcome to this edition of the ASI cast. And I'm delighted to say that today, Richard Marks and I are joined by Yan Liu of TVision in the United States, and Mike Follett, I'm sure well known to all of you from Lumen here in the UK. And we're going to be talking about the issue of attention, which won't surprise you to learn, and how people watch TV and what makes them pay attention and so on and so forth. But I'd like to start, if I may, by asking you about something kind of related to this. I mean, you've announced that you're setting up a panel in the UK, and I believe also in Japan, in the fullness of time between you, between the two companies. Could you explain why you're doing that and what exactly it's going to be, that panel is going to be reporting on?
Well, yes, TVision have been running TVision, TV attention panels in the US and in Japan for many years now. And Lumen has been running our digital attention panels in the US and the UK for a while now. So in the States, people can already get access to cross-media attention data via a combination of the Lumen and the TVision data. But now we're going to try and bring that to the UK as well. So we'll have panelists in the UK with their phones and desktops, and then a separate and but related panel who are equipped with TVision's proprietary technology to measure the attention to tele ads as well.
So this is going to be two panels, is it?
That's right. Two separate panels. So it's not necessarily the same persons monitoring them across three devices. The aim in all of these instances is not necessarily to get a one-to-one correlation between an individual's attention data and then, you know, what they might do afterwards, but instead build a normative database that can be used for planning tools, for optimization tools, and for digital reporting tools.
So what will it actually be reporting on, as it were? What's the data going to look like? I don't mean what's the data going to look like technically, but what sort of information is going to come from it, Yan? What's the output going to look like?
Sure. So in terms of the reporting, so we are actually building a joint product. This dashboard, we essentially will show the attentive CPM or the attentive seconds per 1,000 impression across every single platform. The use case can, starting from at the most basic level, measurement to measure the campaign attention. Now, of course, people can also use this for optimization in the traditional linear TV or activation in the CTV or digital environment. And after that, of course, many companies, they want to link this back to outcome data, whether it's the brand outcome, such as awareness, consideration, sometimes it's lower funnel metrics, such as purchase, store visitation, et cetera. So it's getting very popular concept to run so-called A-B test in both digital and CTV environment to understand how exactly the attention lift drive the performance increase on those metrics. And that's also something we would like to offer to those UK customer. And to answer your previous question, you asked why we're setting up this panel. So this is really driven by the demand of the clients. TVision, we've been working with many, many clients already in the US, Japan and India, and many of them really focusing on the UK market, but we don't have a panel until this moment. So they've been really pushing us to build this panel, and many of them happen to be the Lumen customer as well. So they've been demanding, okay, can you guys build a panel? In addition, can you figure out a way to make this very seamlessly easy to be accessed, not only the TVision data, but the Lumen data altogether? So we try to say no many, many, many times, but they are very, very aggressively demanding this particular request. And Mike and I, we decided, okay, maybe it's time for us to set up a panel.
Yeah, we ground you down, Yan. We ground you down. The arrival of TVision in the UK is extremely welcome and much demanded.
I mean, I'm sure we're going to come back to this point later, but I think you've done very well to find anybody in the UK who's not on a panel to join your panel, because there's a lot of panels around here. But I mean, what's the model going to be, or what is the model now? Is it obviously you've got experience of doing this, as you said, Jan, in other countries, but what's the sort of commercial model to this? I mean, do your clients subscribe to something, or do they get weekly data, or do they buy ad hoc reports or data releases or something? What do they actually get?
Sure. So we already have multiple customers sponsoring this particular project and buying our data. Essentially, it's a simple subscription model. So people buy 6 months, 12 months worth. They get access to our dashboard. They get access to our data, and we have the customer success people to help them to optimize, measure, activate their campaign. But it's still very, very early stage in the UK. So we also want to be flexible on how we can support different clients. And we also understand the different kind of the clients, especially TV networks may have some different requirements. So we can be flexible. But at this moment, the main model is subscription model.
Mm-hmm. And Sorry, Mike. I mean, who are the users? I mean, is it agencies or advertisers direct or both?
It's a combination. So there's on the sell side, there's TV stations and the networks. On the buy side, some clients direct, people who on the buy side and the sell side are particularly interested in this and have and see both sides of the value, and then working in partnership with the agencies as well. And as Jan said, the primary model is a subscription model, but we're acutely aware that we'll have to work, and we plan to work with our clients so that they can get immediate commercial value out of this. And of course, that's something that the buy side, the agencies and the brands, are particularly interested in. So doing these A/B studies to try and help you optimize campaigns on the basis of this data to help you change your media mix so that you can buy more attention for less money and then see the impact of that in sales, that's going to have to be on a campaign by campaign basis. And so along with the sort of annual subscriptions and the quarterly subscriptions, we'll also be working hard to optimize specific campaigns and build case studies for success and for future development.
I mean, do you see a point arriving where, I don't know, you sort of aggregate this stuff so you could say, so I'm making this up, you could say drama does better than comedy, comedy does better than sport, sport does better than whatever. I mean, do you imagine a situation arriving where we start maybe looking at schedules by genre and by their ability to attract attention? I mean, is that something that happens anywhere, by the way, at the moment? Or is that something?
Yeah, that's sort of your stock in trade in the States, isn't it?
Yeah, so in the US, we've been doing this for 7 years. So we have many, many data, including attention by genre, attention by day part, attention by channel, etc. And that's how people really use our data to plan. Yeah. In the US, the main way to plan, as you may know, is for scalar market is channel/day part. If you participate in upfront, you also can buy some particular show. At the day part and channel level, the data is relatively stable unless there's a dramatic change on the programming on particular channel. At the show level, the variance is massive because the show sometimes can perform well, but the performance can suddenly change. And for the new show, it's quite difficult to predict attention level from the get-go. So there's a lot of value for you to subscribe this data on an ongoing basis. Not only for your own performance, but for many TV networks, they also use this as the competitive intelligence tool to understand what's going on in the rest of the market. And I would say the hottest topic right now is to compare the linear TV versus CTV in the US, but basically BVOD in the UK. And that's very, very big topic because as you may know, for example, Thursday Night Football is the first major game show shifted exclusively to CTV, and people really wondering, okay, what's the performance of that compared to Sunday Night Football? And that's very, very, very interesting topic in terms of attention.
Yeah, one of the things that we're going to be particularly interested in is the moving of the rugby autumn internationals over to streaming services, because that's an equivalent sort of move over here, and ad-supported versions of Netflix and stuff like that. Suddenly we'll have a whole lot of data about that, but we'll also have multi-screen data, because while, you know, from a television perspective everyone's asking about the difference between linear and CTV, the next question after that is how TV does, or whatever type does, on various devices, and versus things like YouTube and Facebook and TikTok and display.
Richard, you were going to ask a couple of things, I believe, about the actual makeup of how this.
Yeah, works. just from with my audience measurement nerd hat on, just so the audience get a better feel for how the panel works. Can you talk to me? I gather it's two panels, so I guess it's one for Jan and one for a more general question, which is, can you talk to me a bit about the panel design? I mean, how have you sampled and recruited them in the UK? How large, what sample size is each of the two panels?
Sure, I can start from the TVision side. So we're building a 750 person panel, so essentially roughly 250 to 300 household panel in the UK. Initially we target London area, but now we actually expanded to the entire UK, given our device can be self-installed. It really doesn't make much difference whether we recruit in London or not. Right now the recruiting actually going extremely well. It's actually much faster than our original thought, which is a positive surprise. In terms of the recruiting method, it's not random sampling. We're doing the same thing, basically. We're using the same methodology we've been using in the US, which is quota sampling. Essentially, we have the high level census data around age, gender, household size, income, etc. Then when we recruit afterwards, we try to match those buckets as much as possible. But in terms of the recruiting method, we're using the combination of the online, phone call, et cetera, working with multiple partners who are marketing research agencies, and they're helping us to reach out to those potential panelists. And then after that, we have our own team to take over the process and finalize the installation process.
And the Lumen panel, which is up and running right now, is managed by nice people at Panelbase. So that too is recruited to be nationally representative on a quota basis. We have 750 people with mobile phones and 250 people with desktop computers. And there is a small overlap between those two panels, where you have people on both of those things. We haven't decided to try and install the T-Vision kit with the existing Lumen panel, because of churn rates. The Lumen panel is updated slightly more frequently because there's no hardware, whereas the T-Vision panel, you have to post out a camera to people in a set-top box and things like that. And so it seems to work with better, longer commitments of time from panelists. But in that sense, both the panels are nationally representative, are going to be across the UK.
Mm. And are tablets a subset of mobile phones, or do you not cover them?
We have a few people who use tablets on the panel. We don't quota for that. Any panelist who's recruited to be a mobile panelist can also fix it up with other mobile devices, and tablets are regarded as like big mobile phones in that regard. But while we do get some tablet data, it's not something that we specifically recruit for.
And in terms, so you're covering all devices on that half. Are you covering all devices on the T-Vision panel? I mean, are you covering TV sets in kitchens, bedrooms, etc.?
So at this point, we're covering only primary TV. But we do cover CTV devices, including the devices which can stream YouTube, Netflix, et cetera. So in the US, we have one DMA. We do cover all TV sets. In Japan, we cover all TV sets across all households. I think this is really, it's not a capability gap. It's more of the demand from the market. So we start from this 750 people panel to start with, then based on the feedback, if UK clients tell us, hey, you need to cover all TV sets, we're happy to do so. But as you can imagine, it will increase the cost. Another path is continue to expand our panel. And we understand that this is not a massive panel to start with, but as we continue to get traction in the market, we do plan to continue to expand this panel ultimately to something close to 3,000 people panel, hopefully towards the end of next year.
Yeah, because it'd be fascinating. Perhaps you pick up on it in the data you've got from the test market in the US and Japan, but I don't know, I'd assume that attention levels may vary across different TV sets in the home, because the living room TV set is more likely to have co-viewing and therefore compromises made about the programming, as opposed to Brian sneaking off to the kitchen to watch a football match on his own.
So based on our data in the US and Japan, co-viewing rate, you're right, it's very different. The primary TV has much higher co-viewing rate than secondary TV sets. But if you try to see, like, for example, attention by genre or attention by channel, there's no massive difference between the primary TV and the secondary TV. But the viewership, for example, in the US, roughly 85% of the viewership happens on primary TV. Then the question becomes, okay, what's the justification to triple our cost or double our cost, try to cover additional TV sets? Because this is really not a rating service. This is more like attention panel.
Mm. I guess there's also the logistical challenge of getting people to accept something in their bedroom that's looking at them, if you see what I mean.
It's a very good point. The, I suppose the other thing about it, I mean, it is interesting to get the data, but we're very aware of what do you do with that data? If you could buy TV on the basis of whether or not the ads appear on a primary or a secondary thing, then you might be able to make use of the differential there. That can be really, really helpful. For us, what's super, super important is that people make use of this data commercially. Mm. And so that's a, you know, it isn't just a cost thing, that's also the value you get out of that cost that is driving some of the decisions. Yeah.
You mentioned cost, and this I've spoken to you both on podcasts before, I think Brian has as well, about attention as a currency and the likelihood of it actually being either a currency or incorporated into existing currencies as an additional metric. By my count, this is now the fifth passive meter panel that we've got in the UK. We've got Barb, we've got BBC Compass, Google ScreenWise panel, Origin are building a single source panel as we speak. From a cost perspective, but I guess also from a currency perspective, do you envisage a future where your technology becomes more integrated into existing panels rather than you having to build separate panels? And I appreciate Jan Louis stressed how cheap, how cost effective your TV metering system is, but still it is additional cost compared to it being added to existing panels.
Sure. So we are definitely in conversation with some other existing panel providers in the UK, and we're very open to different level of the partnership, because we really don't think we are competing with each other. What we are offering is attention data, which is very different from other panel. All other panel, they're more using traditional people meter design for rating service, or try to use this as a calibration panel source. What we try to do here is attention panel. So fundamentally, the methodology we have is very, very different. So that's why we think we definitely can coexist with the traditional measurement company and try to achieve some cost efficiency by having the same panel but deploy multiple devices together. And we believe that's also good for the industry because having five panels is not the most economical way for the industry, because ultimately the ad industry in the UK is supporting all these panels.
I think from a different point of view, there are definitely opportunities for efficiency savings by, you know, doubling up on those patterns, and that would be something I think we're really, really open to. But it doesn't necessarily mean that the attention data that we end up producing here or via the digital panels either necessarily has to become a currency, like a JIC-related currency. And we've had this again, so I don't want to repeat myself too much, but I'm not sure that it necessarily needs to become a currency, or if anyone wants it to become a currency. Because in an odd sort of way, at the moment, the real advantage of having this data is knowing something that other people do not know. This is, you know, the commercial advantage of knowing that ads on show A get an awful lot more attention than exactly the same ads on show B, and that ads, you know, on this device get X times more attention than ads on Y device. That's potentially very, very useful sort of trading information to give you an advantage in the market. If everyone knows it, that sort of attention arbitrage opportunity sort of disappears and is competed away. So, you know, we'd love to have some efficiency savings by working with the other panels in the future. Absolutely. Don't need to dig five different holes to, you know, when one will do. But the use of the data at the other end, that doesn't need to be we don't have to become a new Barb or anything like that. Barb has its own role, which is absolutely spitting. But the attention data can be used in a different way.
It's an enhancement. It's an enhancement rather than a different new thing. Just a final question from me is, and have you given any thought to, or do you imagine yourself giving any thought to creative agencies? I mean, you could use your systems presumably for pre-testing.
Vision side, we don't do pre-testing, but we do work with many pre-testing companies because we can track creative performance in flight, which means the creative agency can test before it's on air. But once it's on air, for each frequency, what we found is attention level is different. And typically you have this wear-in effect towards something like a creative frequency 5, then after that, started to wear out. And depends on creative, it may take another 5 frequency, it may take another 10, it may take another 15. So that's the additional value TVision can provide, which is after you launch this campaign and creative is in the market, how does this creative perform by frequency? And you can use this to optimize your frequency, and you can decide, okay, this creative completely wear out and maybe it's time to switch to a new creative.
But you don't see it as a pre-test, pre-air technique?
Well, because we are doing this measurement in the real environment, so we don't think that's the best way to use our technology. We would like to partner with existing pre-on-air testing company to offer more comprehensive solution to the clients. Essentially, you use the pre-on-air testing before it's on air. After it's on air, use us to keep tracking. Wow. So to that end, we do work with company like Real Eyes. So they focus on pre-on-air testing, and we can continue to offer in-flight creative measurement service.
Mm-hmm. Well, not just Real Eyes, yeah, and of course, because we work together on exactly this as well.
That's true.
So, you know, Lumen's business, just like TVision's business, is in monitoring and passively recording sort of what's actually happening in the real world. But we're, because of the nature of our technology just being software, it's much, much easier to go and recruit people before the campaign goes live to insert ads into their feeds or into their sort of CTV, you know, experiences, and then do exactly the sort of pre-testing that you're talking about. And we do that quite a lot. The challenge with the guys at TVision is, of course, to be able to collect the data, you need to post someone a camera. and set it all up, and then, you know, and that means that the advantage of it is that it's very passive and low touch, but that also means that it's passive and you don't get to control what people see, because you're just observing real life. So I think the creative aspects of it are super important, Brian. I think one of the things that both Lumen and T-Vision have learned over the last few years is that we're really good at measuring the boxes, these ads that appear on screens, or these slots of time and we're very good at measuring that and predicting that. What we need, the next generation of insight that we should know, is what's inside the box, the actual creative itself. And giving people insights about what's worked in the past and what would work in the future if you ran it. That's something that we're both working on and we're both delivering against. But that I think is going to be an ever bigger part of our joint business in the future.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, both of you, for joining us today, and we look forward to seeing you soon.
Thanks very much, guys.
Thank you, Bosch.
Yes.